Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, was it just a dream or could it have been a message from beyond?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We like those real ghost stories, so share them with us. If you've got one, call it in at 855-853-4802. Or if you'd rather write it down and send it in that way, go to realghoststoriesonline.com. You can become a premium subscriber, and that means you'll get commercial-free versions of the show. You'll get advanced episodes and access to the archive. You can subscribe through Apple Podcasts. You can also subscribe through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes in Harper. Quit it! Quit it! I'm trying so hard that whole intro. I mean, I never really sound professional, but, you know, I'm trying to read the intro. And Harper can do that thing with your eyes, which I cannot do, which, like, you roll your eyes up and all you see is the white part. So it really looks like she's, you know, an extra in the movie The Exorcist. It's kind of what you look like. So I'm trying to read in on the Zoom. That's what she's doing. You little.
It's great.
Have you always been able to do that? When did you realize you could?
Like two.
That's amazing.
It's fun. I can also cross one eye.
Oh, yeah, you sure can. Just one.
Yeah. I've crossed both eyes, too.
I can do both eyes, but I can't do one at a time. That's crazy.
It's fun. Well,
look at you and your little super freaky talents.
I've been told I have very loose eyes.
You really do. There's something going on there with your eyes. Because I don't think a lot of people can do that, go all the way up and all you see is the white part.
Oh, no. It's quite rare.
Seems like it would. I don't know. I've never looked at the statistics on that, but let's just say I don't know many people who can do that and rolling their eyes the way you're doing it right now. But you're not rolling your eyes in that, oh my God, I'm 11 and I hate you, Carol, sort of way. So I'm okay with that. As long as you don't roll your eyes like, oh my God, you're so stupid.
Well, no, I'm not that mean.
You are not mean. We love each other. Well, here is a story. Are you ready?
Yes.
This one says, about 8 years ago, my husband and I were living in a two-bedroom apartment. I remember it was fall. My husband was working nights. It was just myself and our three cats in the apartment that night. I made sure everything was locked up, left a light on for my husband, and went to bed. I had just started drifting off when I swore I smelled gas. Since a previous apartment building I'd lived in caught fire in the night, I was nervous and got up to check everything. Oh my God, I couldn't imagine living through that. I would be nervous about that every night myself. That would be hard to get past that. It'd be hard to fall asleep at night, wouldn't it?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So she says, everything was turned off, locked, checked outside, and nothing out of place. I didn't smell anything anymore and went back to bed. I just started dozing off again and smelled it even more. This time I was having a hard time breathing. Coughing, I got up, opened my bedroom window. I checked everything again and nothing. The stove was electric, so was not coming from there. I checked the water heater that was in a closet. The pilot light was still lit and I could see the flame. The water heater was the only gas line and I didn't smell anything anymore, so I went back to bed. Finally, I fell asleep. I don't know when the dream began. The only part I remember, and it was so vivid, was being in this giant black massive room. I think it was a room, but I can't be sure. There was a really bright white light at the other end. Two people came up behind me and I felt tears rolling down my face. One was a woman who I had never seen before. The guy, I had seen him before, but I couldn't place him. She asked why they were there and he just stared at me. The tears came faster and I whispered that they died and they were supposed to go to the light. The girl immediately started crying and hitting the guy. He was upset. It looked like he was panicking. He held her arms down and said, "No, no, that's not right." He ran back into the dark. She walked into the light. I immediately woke up sobbing. I didn't know what the hell that was about, but it was about the worst feeling. The next day, I was talking on the phone with my mom, and she was telling me how Jason, a family friend, hadn't shown up for work with my stepdad. So my stepdad went to check on him to find out that they, Jason and his girlfriend, had started a generator in the basement because they lost power and they died of carbon monoxide poisoning. What? That is crazy. And it says, occasionally during the nights in the apartment, I would wake and swear there was a face in front of mine. About a month after that night, I had my sister over. We were drinking and watching a movie, having a girls' night. We were joking about the movie having a psychic. Then she told me that Karen's mom went to a psychic, or Karan's mom, I'm not sure if I'm saying that right, went to a psychic to try to talk to him. The psychic informed her that he didn't go to the light like he was supposed to. His girlfriend did, but he ran from it. She said that he has been visiting my stepfather, her, and someone else tied to him, but she didn't see a relationship between him and the woman. I just stared at her. I was terrified to tell her about the dream. I felt guilty for the dream, like I could have prevented their deaths. I've never told anyone about it. I go back and forth with myself about whether it was real or just a figment of my imagination. It still bothers me, and I'll never forget how helpless I felt or how heartbreaking the dream was. I've never experienced that again. I don't know if you could shed some light on this, or maybe some of your listeners could. Do you think it was just a dream? We'll go to me first. No, I don't think it was just a dream. Now we'll go to Harper. What do you think?
No, I don't think it was just a dream. If you dream about somebody like not going to the light and then they die.
Then the psychic describes pretty much what happened in the dream.
It's creepy.
But I can also see how you could maybe talk yourself out of it. But you knew that you had the dream before you found out about them.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't like, that was a dream. You know, sometimes dreams are so profound and bothersome, or half the time I don't remember my dreams, but then there's other times where maybe it was a really funny dream or a terrifying dream or a weird dream. They stick with you. And I could see why that one would stick with you. So what do you think about this part? So the psychic had said that about he didn't go to the light. He ran from it, but his girlfriend did. Then Christina said, I stared at her. I was terrified to tell her about the dream. I felt guilty for the dream, like I could have prevented their deaths. Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't believe that she could have prevented it either. But I feel like the psychic almost kind of confirms that it wasn't just a dream.
I'm with you. I think that's some confirmation.
Yeah.
And the other thing about that dream was that she'd woken up more than once thinking that she was smelling smoke.
Yeah.
And went looking around her apartment to make sure everything's okay. But don't you think that she needs to let that go and don't feel guilty about that?
I do. At some point you have to move on. Otherwise it's going to eat at you.
Would you tell the family about your dream?
No.
And I don't think there's any real closure that you can get, because I almost think as a loved one, if you know that your loved one ran from the light, like they were in denial, like, no, I'm not dead, and they ran from it, but they are dead. It's like it kind of gives you that feeling that they're not at peace.
Yeah.
So I don't know that that would benefit anyone for her to share it. At least the loved ones. Mm-hmm. Sharing it with us, that's one thing. I can't imagine. That would be so horrible to have that dream and then the next day find out two people died from carbon monoxide.
Yeah.
God.
That would certainly... That's to the point where I don't think you can muck it up to a coincidence.
I don't think it's a coincidence at all.
And I don't think it's a coincidence at all either.
I wouldn't be surprised if other things happen to that person. Because obviously, they've got the ability, you know, to have some kind of messages from the other side.
Honestly, I only wish this person peace, because that's clearly some... That's a lot to, like, have that on your shoulders and not be able to tell anybody.
But there's no way... There's a couple reasons that I don't think they should feel guilt. Because, number one, she didn't even know who it was she was dreaming about.
Yeah.
Like, she thought the gas was coming from her house. So you can't have guilt about that, because there's nothing you could have prevented.
And there's no way you would have known.
But having a generator on in your basement, not a good idea.
Yeah.
They need ventilation. Well, here's our next story. It says, I've had so many paranormal experiences, it's really unbelievable. It almost doesn't feel real. I've had tons of stories I could tell you and probably will in the future, but I'm going to start with the most recent one. My grandma, mother, and I have always been really sensitive to the paranormal. We can walk into a house and just know something is wrong. This kind of runs in the family. I have a pair of cousins who dream with each other and have full-on conversations in their sleep, wake up, call the other, and go back and forth what they talked about in their dreams. They live in separate states, so it's very bizarre. I, on the other hand, I'm not psychic, but I've had dreams come true, and I'm very in tune to other people's emotions. I wonder if the cousins are twins. That sounds like a twins thing.
Twin telepathy?
Yes. I have never heard that term, but that's exactly what that is.
You've never heard of that term?
No, I've never heard that just like that, but that's such a perfect word for it, twin telepathy.
Yeah.
That is it. That's exactly it. Anyways, back to the story. I lived in Santa Barbara, California, and I recently moved to this other town. I'm not even going to attempt to try to say it, because I'll never get it right. About 6 months ago, it's about 45 minutes from Santa Barbara, and we commute to work now. My stepdad is a real estate agent, and it was awesome because he was the one who sold us our house, and being a real estate agent, he was showing us the houses. My mom and I, nervous about the new place, were terrified of moving into a haunted house. I can relate to that. When I bought this house, I so didn't want it to be haunted. I'm like, oh my God, please.
My mom was so paranoid about that she would run to research about that.
And all your houses were fine.
Yeah.
Except that last one, when that one weird thing happened to me.
Yeah, that was certainly something.
I don't know what that was. Let's see. Being tortured in our apartment for a long time, we were paranoid. I wonder what was that all about? We were tortured in our apartment for a long time.
I would love to hear about that.
Yeah. My dad handed me a stack of paper of the houses listed and asked me to put the addresses into the GPS because my mom was on the phone. I glanced down at the paper. 6 bedrooms, 3 bathroom house for $235,000. I remember thinking, holy smokes, that's cheap for California, not for where I live. Where I live, you can get a nice house for that amount of money. We walked up the steps to this house and he opened the door. I remember feeling a little excited because on paper, the house sounded amazing. That all changed when I walked in. As soon as I walked through the door, I felt like I got hit by a bus. I felt like the house closed in on me. I felt nauseous and my head throbbed. I wasn't the only one, though. My dad motioned for us to go and look around, and everyone did cautiously. My mom and I, however, locked eyes. She half smiled and motioned for me to go with my sisters. I didn't want to. I followed my stepsister down the stairs to one of the rooms. The hallways felt cramped, and there were 3 doors, 2 across from each other at my side and 1 in the front. I walked to the room in front of me with Evelyn, then to the door next to that one, the bathroom. I turned to the last door, and my sister must have walked off or something. I stood in front of the door and sighed as I opened it. My stomach turned, and I couldn't move. It was the garage. It was dark, even with the light from outside coming in from the windows, and in the center was a small couch. And even though I didn't see anything, I could feel someone or something sitting there watching me, like it was waiting for me to find it. That is a creepy feeling. That's
definitely
really creepy.
That's very much a feeling I do not like.
And what a weird thing to look into the garage and there's just a couch and you feel like someone's sitting on the couch watching.
Like, why is there a couch, especially when you're touring a house?
Yeah, because you would think they'd have everything out.
Yeah. What's so special about that couch?
I don't know. Maybe they were selling it to somebody and they were going to come over and get it, but I don't know. I couldn't move and started feeling like I wanted to cry. My dad came downstairs and shook me from my trance. I couldn't move or look away until his voice brought me back. He didn't say anything right away, but he cleared his throat and closed the door. "That's creepy," he said. I smiled and ran up the stairs. I looked into the kitchen and lost all desire to walk around. I wanted out now. I kept seeing images of someone hanging over that couch. I kept feeling like something was coming for me. I can't explain why, but I felt like someone died there. I felt disgusted and I kept getting the urge to throw up. I took a deep breath and called for my stepsister Evelyn and asked her to wait for me. She went to find my other sister down the hall across the living room. That breath from talking felt so heavy, I got nervous again. I found her and my sister down the hallway across the house. It's interesting how everybody just went off on their own to explore. Normally, when you go into a house, like when you guys looked at your house that you live in, did you kind of stick together or did you just go your way and your dad went his way?
Well, I just went around by myself.
Because that's kind of what they've done with this. So it says, so she was looking for her sister. She found her and my sister down the hallway. They were huddled at the end of the hallway nervously. I walked towards them, and I kid you not, as I walked down that hallway, I felt like it was stretching. It was too long. But it really wasn't at all. I couldn't get to them fast enough, even though it was a regular-looking hallway from the kitchen. I felt scared, and when I finally reached them, those few steps later, we stumbled into one another. I put them in front of me, and I told them we should go wait for our parents by the door. As we walked down the hallway again, I closed my eyes, holding on to my sister Samantha's hand. My parents were waiting for us. None of us went to explore the rest of the house. I didn't even care. When we got into the car, I asked my mom if she felt it too. She said she felt like someone had died there. I told her I wanted to throw up, and she told me she wanted to as well. But first, she wanted to get as far away from that house as possible. When my dad got in the car, he told us he didn't like the house and that it made him nervous. My sisters told us that they were scared when they walked in, but just didn't say anything. It sounded crazy. None of us said anything when we walked in, and we didn't talk till we got into the car. We ended up in a nice 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom house. It's one story, and I love it. The house we live in is perfect. Nothing paranormal has happened there, and no one has died there. We all checked in detail. Love your show, and I'll write in soon again, Amber.
What a creepy experience that is, especially for the whole family to experience that.
Everybody felt something.
Like, it's one thing for one person to go through, but, like, a whole family? That's a lot.
But what a good... That's kind of a good thing in a weird way to happen, because as spooky as the experience was... They all felt it, so they didn't end up buying it.
Yeah.
Because what if, say, there was a haunted house, and you go look at it, and all of the spirits, they're all just, like, in the background. No, we're not going to do anything until they actually buy it. Then we'll show them who's here. Like, that would be the last thing I want. Like, buying a house. You spend all that money, and it's hard to get out once you're in. You know, you want to build up a little equity. So I think it's a good thing, actually, that they all felt it. And it just bodes well for other houses throughout their lives. Like, they can just walk in a house and go, whoa, not living here. Which I think, you know, really, Harper, that's kind of a little bit of a superpower.
Yeah, it is quite a bit of a tool.
So if you have a real ghost story, call it in, 855-853-4802, or write it in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You can become a premium subscriber, and with that, you get ad-free versions of the show, you get advanced episodes, and access to the archive. You can do that through Apple Podcasts. You can try it 3 days free. Or you can sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.